Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until one. It's a Monday now and it's the 8th of December, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. It's also a half decent day to get some things done before the storm and rain torrents you've just been hearing about, expected everywhere tomorrow, and the very bad outlook for the week ahead in general, but it is winter all the same. Sure, what can you do? Taurus Jock on the WhatsApp, that's 087 032 32 32, and for your longer letters, as ever, the email is uscultureoliver@rte.ie. Lots to do today. We're going to be hearing what's happening on the shopping streets of Dublin later on. We have a bit of farming for you. We have a trip down the Camino. We'll find out what's happening on Childline this time of the year, and music as well to keep your heart lit at this time of the year when the weather outside is frightful. To bring you to 1 o'clock today, 51551 is the text machine number. It's nice to be back as well. Thank you to Dermot Whelan, who rounded off things there on Friday. It was away last week. I was off shooting our comedy review of the year, Callan Kicks the Year, which is going out on RTÉ1 television across two nights, the 30th and the 31st. That's New Year's Eve after the news, basically looking. I've been dwelling in all the maddest moments of 2025, which is quite an unpleasant place to be. You think, was that really this year? The two fingers in the doll, that was this year? It seems so long ago, doesn't it? And the tariffs and Elon Musk and all that stuff. Anyway, we'll give it the annual treatment. We've done the show six times now running, and the Christmas bumper RTÉ guide is out today to prove it. It's an illustrated cover, very nice, kind of evocative, atmospheric, Christmassy cover as per tradition these last 7 years or so, I think. First people I see in the guide this year, Aina Hardwick. There's an interview with him because of the Saipan film that's coming out in January, because we'll never recover from 2002. And Jessie Buckley is there as well, and she's the great Irish hope for the awards season on the films circuit. Hamnet is the film. She's opposite Paul Mescal as the Shakespeare couple. And the Golden Globe nominations are actually happening this afternoon. So that'll be the first sign whether the Kerry woman is in the running for things like Oscars and other big, big awards later on as well. The nice illustration is by Shannon Bergen, who illustrated Tom O'Gochran's Run Little Fox that we were talking about on our children's book special here, which it was 2 weeks ago now, wasn't it? But it is the 8th of December, and I've gone down the rabbity gap on the Immaculate Conception Feast. And the fun fact, basically, is the Protestants do not observe this day at all, at all, at all. It's a Catholic thing entirely. It was dreamt up by a Pope 170 years ago. Now, it was a tradition, but he dreamt up the actual the obligations around it. Pope Pius IX, a hell of a character. Longest serving Pope ever, 32 years he was on the throne in the Vatican, and he was a bit power mad, and he was the fellow who came up with the papal infallibility. And one of the early tests of kind of being a Pope that never made mistakes and had absolute power was this decision to make the Immaculate Conception a thing and define the dogma around it. He declared Mary, the Virgin Mary, conceived, she was conceived without original sin. By the special grace of God. So it's not as it's commonly believed and much derided often, the Immaculate Conception, being about the birth of Christ. It is about Mary's conception, the mother. And traditionally, you see, had all these church councils that would come together and come up with these doctrines. So the Pope has said, no, I'm not consulting with anyone. This is my decision. Job done. And he made them kind of pointless, and he got absolute power. Pius IX. And many of the Catholic thinkers of the idea said of the time said this idea is it couldn't be true at all, because if Mary doesn't have original sin, then how is she saved by the Son of God? This is a mistake, and there's no scripture to back up the idea, no verse in the Bible. And that's why most of the Christian faiths, like the Protestants, who were very encouraging to pick up your Bible and read it yourself, they reject it entirely. So why did he do it? Politics. Europe was in turmoil at the time. Nationalist revolutions. And he said, look, we've got to stop all this secular stuff, strengthen the identity. And it was very popular in Spain and Italy and in Ireland, because the traditions around the Immaculate Conception were very strong, and the devotion towards Mary really exploded after this decision. So it's kind of fascinating that 8th of December has all of this history attached to it. It's still a holy day of obligation for the Catholic faithful, but it's now exactly 20 years since the Irish bishops, they decided in 2005 to lift the mandatory rule over the schools that they have control of. And it's still about 80 to 90% of schools in Ireland that the schools had to close on the 8th of December to mark the occasion. So, and that is why it used to be such a massive shopping day. Schools were off. Much more women were housewives with no other work outside the house compared to now, back in the, in these days. And the civil servants even had privileged days off to go shopping. So it was a huge tradition, very, very strong in the 70s. And there was absolute traffic mayhem every year in Dublin. Éireann Ród Éireann would put on extra trains and warn people to, you know, queue up and get ready for it. And obviously it was December, it was before all the climate changed, so it was properly freezing cold. And the government would even appeal to Dubliners to leave their cars at home because the country motorists would be clogging up the cities. And at one stage, Charlie Haughey, when he was Taoiseach in the 80s, said Dublin housewives would be well advised to leave their Christmas shopping for some other day. He was going around handing out free hams, wasn't he, up there? And sure, why not? Wasn't he a ham himself? But the whole tradition was really, it was going in the late 80s, early 90s. The shopping centres were being built in different parts of the country. And but that 20-year-ago decision by the bishops, it was over altogether as a widespread tradition. And the privileged day for the public workers and the public sector ended during austerity. So who can go shopping on the 8th of December in this modern world of ours where both parents are now working and the kids are in school? Some people are still doing it. We didn't do it. We were in Monaghan, but we never thought to go to Dublin. We went to Dundalk on the 8th of December, the grand metropolis that is Dundalk, to one of those duns that you can see from space. And sure, you wouldn't have time to push in the silage for the cows in the evening if you were gallivanting out to Dublin. Not at all. Mind you, the hotels in the city these days are absolutely packed and the theatres are heaving, which is good to see, and all the pantos are flying in the run-up. So I think the 8th of December has kind of expanded into 6, 7, 8 week-long shopping event. You'd gifted there at the RDS in Dublin over the weekend. That place was rammed. I always imagined Galway's Shop Street, which would have been hopping at the weekend. They do the best decorations, I think, as a town, because I hope they're still doing this. They mount the fresh Christmas trees over each shop. They do it collectively, Quay Street and Shop Street, very beautifully lit. Grafton Street is still doing the same lights, aren't they, for many, many years. But Brenda Donoghue is on the streets of Dublin right now. And so later on, we'll be joining her to see who she's met so far since trading began at 9 o'clock this morning. But we'll take you down a memory lane 50 years ago on Henry Street, the busiest street in the whole country then, and it is still now by footfall. Here's how RT was reporting trade and tradition on this very day, 1975.
The 8th of December is traditionally one of those days when Dublin is invaded from the country. The scene downtown is something like All-Ireland Final Day, but this time it's Ladies' Day out looking for Christmas bargains. On the surface, it's hard to believe that there's an economic crisis. The central bank says there's nearly £281 million in circulation. That's just 20% more than last year. Downtown traders are confidently predicting a record-breaking spending spree. To make sure business isn't frightened away by bomb scares, there are special security arrangements in all stores. Earlier today, I asked Mr. Vivian Dudgeon, sales manager of a large department store, if country people were still keeping the 8th of December as a city shopping day.
Today, as you can see, we're thronged, and quite a number of country accents appearing through the Dublin accent. It's a day out for the people and for the children, and to bring them to Dublin, perhaps to see Santa Claus and to get a wider range of goods and more products which we're presenting.
The Garlic Crime Prevention Bureau has a seasonal word of caution for all shoppers. It's pickpocket time of year again. The golden rule is keep a tight grip on your purse.
Keep a firm hold to your purse and your bag. That bit almost seems charming compared to some of the late night problems in Dublin on the weekends these days. But if you think today's grim, 1975, you're the grinding economic slump, loyalist bomb scares and the pickpocketers. Extraordinary stuff. Very, very. It was fun at the same time, wasn't it? When you see the heavy coats they're wearing in the clips I was watching, properly freezing, it was. What are you saying here in the text? 51551 on the text. We went to Protestant primary school. We always had school on the 8th of December growing up. Everyone else didn't. The other school's very jealous. How many decades are you talking about showing your age? Well, I wasn't around in 1975, but this was the old tradition, fado, fado.